Good morning. Aren't you thankful that you can sing that it is well with my soul today? Certainly grateful for all the blessings that we have received through Jesus Christ so that we can say that. And certainly we have been blessed. I have several visitors with us today. We're glad that you're here. Also, it's good that Dave McEwen is able to be here. Sandra is doing well enough that he could leave for a little while and understand that she's not on a walker anymore, but she's using a cane now and going back to the doctor on Tuesday, I believe it was. So continue to be praying for her, and pray for Jamie, pray for those who are on our prayer list. You ladies, if you'll remember, it's in your bulletin about the Bible class kickoff brunch. That will be this coming Wednesday at 10:30. Please come and bring friends to fellowship and preview the upcoming studies for the next year. So that will be this Wednesday morning. You might know, at least recognize, the name Joseph Scriven. He was born in Ireland in 1820. He migrated to Canada when he was 25 years old. Although life was somewhat difficult for him, he had a big heart. He always helped the poor and the needy, even when his own needs were just as great as those whom he helped. In 1857, he learned that his mother was extremely ill, and he wrote her many comforting words in letters, and yet none more comforting than these words, which comprise an extremely popular hymn still today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, sometimes life is difficult. Life is not always like home on the range, where never is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. Aren't you thankful I didn't sing that? You may have heard the story about the doctor who called his patient. The patient wasn't home, left a message on his machine, and it said, "I have the report on your test, and I need to see you immediately." The man rushed to the doctor's office, and the doctor told him, "Well, I have bad news and worse news. And the bad news is that you have a terminal disease in an advanced stage, and you have only 24 hours to live." And the man asked, "How could you have any news that is worse news than that?" And the doctor said, "I tried to call you yesterday with this news." That certainly would be a bad day. A member of the congregation where I used to preach, jokingly, or I think it was jokingly, asked me, "Why do we always need a song of encouragement after your lessons?" I always thought that I preached encouraging lessons, but undoubtedly, he must not have thought so. I hope my sermons are not discouraging. I hope they are encouraging, but I also hope that they challenge you to think and to look within yourself to make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be encouraged and we should also be encouragers. And I know that many of you do that very thing. I see it every week, every Lord's Day, as we gather together, as you're encouraging one another. Our text for this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And notice, as the word comfort or comforts underlined, how many times that's used in this passage. And also the word consolation is also used several times in this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will you partake of the consolation. So where do you find comfort? Well, I believe from this text we learn that primarily we are to find our comfort from God Himself. He is described in this text as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you turn to God when you need comfort? And certainly we can receive comfort and encouragement from our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to do that. But the primary one to whom we should turn for comfort is God. And the word translated as comfort in this text is used frequently in the New Testament and has a variety of translations. The word parakaleo means to call to the side of, or to call alongside. The word kaleo is to call, and para is to the side. It is used in a variety of ways, as I stated. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. And Jesus said, "Do you think that I cannot appeal," there would be that word again, "to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Now, Peter thought that he could help our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But our Lord let him know that he really didn't need any help, especially that kind of help. He said, "I have all the power at my disposal. I can do as I please. I have the power of my Father. I have the power of the angels." It's also translated as beseech and pray and entreat. And Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "You know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So God is the exhorter. God is the encourager. God is the one who can help us through very difficult times. As I was thinking about this lesson, I couldn't help but think of some of the difficult times that many of you have been through just this year. Loss of loved ones, serious illnesses, and on the list goes. And certainly there are times that we need that kind of comfort that only God can afford to us. So how do you find this comfort? Well, this same root word is used by John in his writings to describe the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. It's translated as helper, comforter, or advocate in the Johnine writings. As Joseph Scriven wrote to his mother, we often carry needless pain because we fail to go to God in prayer. That's our greatest source of comfort and encouragement. Certainly reading the Bible, reading what God has given to us, reading in the Psalms, reading in other places that are encouraging to us. But I believe that God really wants us to talk to Him, to communicate with Him when we need comfort. So we not only have a divine, we not only have a divine support system, well, we also can have agents of God who can provide us with a human support system. That's the church. That's you and that's me. As we are to help, we are to encourage one another. When you have either good news or bad news, there is an inherent need to share it with friends or with family or with your church family. We talk or so often text on the telephone now. We write cards and letters, or we sit down face to face with those from whom we can draw strength, comfort, and encouragement. And you know who are the encouragers. I hope and pray that each one of us will learn to be more of encouragers to each other. The Lord designed His church to be this greatest support system known to man. I have witnessed this many, many times in this church. Even though I've been with you a relatively short time as far as being a full-time minister, I've seen it over and over again, how that you encourage one another, how that you comfort one another, how that you are called to the side of one another, and thus it should be. The inspired writer of Hebrews tells us how often we should comfort one another. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He doesn't just say, encourage one another on the Lord's Day, even though that's important. But he says, encourage one another daily. When you think of someone who may be discouraged, pick up the phone, write a letter, find some way to encourage that person. When you think of someone who's lost a loved one, then find a way to comfort that person, sometimes just by your presence without saying a word. And he also tells us that one important way in which God has designed for us to be strengthened is through our worship together. This is why we have come together this morning. Yes, it's to glorify God, it's to sing praises unto His name, it's to hear a lesson from His word. But just as importantly, It is to encourage one another. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I don't know how you look at other people when you visit with them, for instance, on Sunday morning or whenever we're together. I have a tendency to look at people's eyes. And you can tell a lot through people's eyes. Sometimes when people are saying, well, they're just fine, everything's okay, you look in their eyes and you pretty well know that that may not be the case. They're trying to be brave. They're trying to hold up under all the difficulties of life. But when you look into a person's eyes, sometimes you can see the real person, the real struggles. You know, the obvious and primary reason that you receive comfort is that you occasionally need to be exhorted and encouraged. I know that there are many, many strong Christians, but even Christians that we might think are strong in the faith, there are times that they need to be encouraged. I appreciate Dan offering that prayer to me, for the elders, the leaders. Sometimes the work of the church is a difficult job. But I appreciate those prayers. I think that we need to tell our elders more often how much we appreciate them and the work that they do. Need to tell our Bible class teachers we appreciate them for taking the time and the energies to teach Bible class. There are so many opportunities that we are given to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes we need to just encourage them because they're here. I would imagine that some of you who are here today probably didn't really feel like coming when you first got up this morning. But you came. And you're here. And each one of us needs to encourage, and we need to understand that our responsibility as Christians to one another is to encourage each other, however we may choose to do so. You receive encouragement in order to pass that encouragement on to other people. We don't receive encouragement just so that we can hoard it to ourselves. We don't receive love just because we can hoard it to ourselves. We don't receive all the blessings that God gives to us, forgiveness and grace and mercy, just to hoard it to ourselves. But we receive it in order to give it to someone else. That's our responsibility as Christians. You know, the Indians had a legend that when one of them kills an enemy, the strength of the slain foe enters into the victor's body. I think that's pretty much a Christian principle too. When we are a source of encouragement and comfort to other people, part of our spiritual strength is passed on to someone else who at that particular time is struggling. Now, that, however, does not mean that if someone else receives the comfort that we give to them, that we've emptied ourselves of comfort. We still have that comfort. God blesses us with that comfort and enables us to give others encouragement. When others comfort us, they have not lost any comfort themselves, but they have gained. When God helps us through prayer, God's strength is passed on to us. Does God lose any strength? No. No. But he passes that strength on to us so that we can get through difficult times. And then when we get through those difficult times, we can use that strength to help others. When the Holy Spirit is our helper, his comfort is passed on to us. That's what Jesus called him. He is the comforter. So that comfort is passed on to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't lose any comfort, but he passes that on to us so that we can be comforted, and then we can help other people who need comfort at a later time. When we are encouraged by our fellow Christians, part of their encouragement and exhortation is passed on to us. And yet they don't lose that. They still are filled with that, and yet they have filled you up as well, but not so that you can keep it to yourself, so that you can share it with someone else. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure that you have, but in Paul's letters, as I recall, almost every one of them that he wrote, he first praised them. He first encouraged them. He was passing some of that strength and encouragement and comfort onto his brothers and sisters in Christ who were going through difficult times. And quite often when he did so, he was imprisoned. And yet he found the strength from God to comfort other people. I think there's a great lesson there for you and for me today, that we need to not look within ourselves so much. I believe it was Paul Faulkner in his book, Making Things Right. He said, making things right when things go wrong. He said, don't be a navel gazer. In other words, don't be looking down at yourself all the time. Look outward. Look for the opportunities that you have to help other people. And when you do, you're going to be strengthened also. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, we certainly want to pray for you. If there's anyone here that needs to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we will gladly do that today. We ask that you remember to comfort, even as God has comforted you, to encourage as God has encouraged you. And we want to help you in every way we can. Won't you come as we stand and sing?